You thank God for every means we have to get the gospel out. And like you said, Brother Tyrus, it's the Word of God that does the work. It's not what we say, but what God says in His Word. I'm grateful for just to be part of that, and be able to allow God to use us together, you know, as a group of people, as a body of Christ, that we might get the message out for people to hear the good news that Jesus loves them, Jesus saves. Well, it's good to be here. I'm glad that you're here today. Isn't it another beautiful day? Isn't it about a beautiful day? Okay, we had a good shower last night. I hope you did. We got a good rain at my house. And we're just grateful again for all the blessings of God. It's been a very mild year as far as summertime, or as heat is concerned. I'm not complaining. I'm thankful. And also, it's been a lot of rain. We're thankful for that, too. It's just unusual. But I'm glad that God's in control of everything. Man is not. Man is not. But we're grateful again that you're here today, and we're going to continue our study in the book of Jonah. If you will turn there, the book of Jonah. We'll continue with this today as we look into the Word of God. Thank you for being here. Good to see Brother Anderson back over his surgery, recovering there right on. People have been on vacation. They're back. We're glad to have them back. And just good to see all of you in God's house today. I had the privilege Monday of driving up with some of the kids on a vehicle. On the way up, they just, you know how they are, all excited, talk. Yesterday morning, went up to get them. And they went to eat breakfast, get on the vehicles, got on I-40, started home. In 5 minutes, light turned the radio off. Silent. And no talking all the way home. You know, they were all sleeping. A little bit of snoring, but not much talking. I had the guys. But anyway, it's fun, and they all had a great time. And, you know, it's a blessing to be able to have a place where children can go. And you know it's there for them, it's for their good. They'll be blessed, they'll be charged up, they'll be excited about what God can do in their lives. And we need to pray for our boys and girls that maybe God may touch somebody's heart about being a missionary, being a pastor, evangelist, or something, you know, in the future. And we have the potential here. We never know what God's doing in their lives. And thank God they had the opportunity to go this week to camp. Let's pray. Father, we thank you now for this day. We thank you for this time you've given us. We thank you for the Word of God. Again, Lord, that even out on signs, Lord, we see how effective it is to the people that read them and they go by every day. We thank you to God. Now we have the opportunity this morning to open your Word. And God, I pray, Lord, as we do, I pray, Lord, the Holy Spirit will be our teacher. He will lead and guide us today as we continue to look in the book of Jonah. Lord, at the amazing truths we find here. Lord, I'm so amazed, Lord, that the more we read, the more we study your Word, the more you give us from your Word. Lord, it's just inexhaustible. There's so much in it that we can't get it all. But Lord, we're grateful for what you show us. And God, I pray you help us to apply, Lord, what you've shown us and what you teach us, Lord, day by day. Lord, our lives may count for you somehow. Thank you, dear God, for these that are back from surgery. Those, Lord, that back from vacation, there's people out today for various reasons. I pray you bless them. Bless those in our church that are sick, that are hurting, or having tests run and trying to find out what's wrong. I pray, God, you will lead the doctors and help them to be able to determine the need, and, Lord, you will provide it. Lord, now bless our time together this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The book of Jonah is a very interesting book to me. I hope it is to you. We find here the message is certainly not complicated. We also see that it moves fast, the message does, and it's also very touching. In the book of Jonah, we're finding that God is concerned about everybody. He's concerned about the heathen. He's concerned about every individual in the world. And he's sending his servant Jonah to a place where people are lost, where people, as he said, their sins are before God. He's sending him to Nineveh. He's sending him there to cry out to these people. Let them know that God knows about their sin and God wants them to be saved. So he's preparing, trying to prepare him. But we see in the face of difficulties many times, we as human beings will face through a particular task. And that task is hard in our eyes, in our minds. While we fail many times and we shirk our responsibility and we try to do something different to satisfy the Lord. We see this is what Jonah did. But we also see in God and His provision how God is powerful. And God is able to use nature itself to find a way, to make a way for His own purposes to be accomplished, even in our lives. I'm glad today to know that. God's desire is for all people to worship Him, to honor Him, to bring glory to Him, even today in which we live. We see He shows mercy to us that don't deserve mercy every day in our life. We also see that He's concerned for all human beings, no matter who they are, and He has the right to show mercy to whosoever He will. And we need to recognize that today. Jonah is recording here his mission to Nineveh. Yet we find it is written to Israel. And we find that who literally hated Nineveh and the people of Nineveh because they were their enemies. But God is showing His love here for the enemies of Israel, who is Nineveh. God, you know, it's an amazing thing to me how God loves everybody. Doesn't matter who we are, what our background is, God loves everybody, folks. And I'm glad today to know that. So in chapter 1, we've seen that Jonah has protested God's call for him, God's will for him in his life. We see also he's fleeing, he's running from the will of God, from what God wants him to do. Literally, Jonah is in a fix. He's in a fix. He's in a hard place because he's not doing what God wants him to do. And therefore, we find all kinds of things happening to him. So we see the command of God in verses 1 and 2. In chapter 3, verse 3, we find here the decision of Jonah. Last week, we talked about the hand of God in verses 4 through 12. And today, we want to talk about the sailors, the friends, the teachers of Jonah, really, literally. The sailors in this passage of Scripture. One of the lessons here we see in the book of Jonah is that God is sovereign. And He responds to human action. He responds to human action all the time. You know, the most frightening thing in the world today is not the noise of the bad people. The most frightening thing in the world today is not the noise of the bad people. But the most frightening thing in the world today is the silence of the good people. The silence of the good people. God's people. God's people are being silenced. All over the world today, we're afraid to speak up. And that's sad. That's frightening, folks. That's very frightening. And we see the bad people, they're louder and louder, aren't they? They're louder and louder. They're crying out, and the world is going crazy, literally. The question is this: will we, like Jonah, be prejudiced and to be guilty as a Christian, to be silent? Or will we, on purpose, express the heart of God and the love of God to people? That's the question. That's the question we see today. Jonah chose to be silent. He chose to be silent and to hate, rather than to obey God and to love people. He made that decision. So we see today, as we look in chapter 1 again, we're going to look here at Jonah's teachers and also Jonah's friends, the sailors. Our emphasis today is going to be upon these people in the boat with Jonah, not so much about Jonah. The sailors, the people that were in there with him, and see what happened to them. We see their action. First of all, let's look at verse number 11. We find here that, of course, we know what's taking place here, that the storm was there, and they didn't know what was going on, so the shipmaster went down and got Jonah and woke him up and asked him what was going on, and he told him what was going on. And verse number 9, he said it to them, that is the sailors, "I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which hath made this sea and the dry land." Notice, then were the men exceedingly afraid and said unto him, "Why hast thou done this?" For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord because he had told them. Now notice verse 11. Then said they unto him, "What shall we do unto thee, that the sea may become unto us. For the sea wrought and was tempest. We see here the action of these sailors here. You know, they could have been, you know, upset enough. They just lifted God him and threw him off the side and in the water and there said nothing to him about it. But these guys, these sailors, you know, it's amazing to me how even in our backslidden condition, even in our time of running from God, God puts in our very presence people. Even though they may not be Christians, he puts people in our presence to awaken us and to help us. And also, not only to help us, but to help them. It's amazing how God works together in his own way. But we see here, first of all, that these sailors, they showed regard for human life. They were concerned about human life. They didn't just discard of Jonah, throw him out and forget about him. Look at verse 12. And he said unto them, take me up and cast me forth into the sea. So shall the sea become unto you, for I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you. Notice verse 13. Nevertheless, what happened? The men rowed hard to bring it to land, but they could not. For the sea wrought and was tempest against them. We see here that they knew that Jonah deserved to die. They knew that because of what he did. And we see here, yet they made a move in the other direction. They were still trying to save him. They wanted him to stay on the boat. They just wanted the boat to be calm, the boat to be able to set aside, so to speak. We see here they increased their efforts of trying to get to land by rowing hard. You know, I like to get on a boat sometimes, and of course, boat with motors. I like to get on just a canoe or something sometimes and just get out in the water, you know, and do that. And sometimes it's, you know, rowing is hard work. I can't imagine what it's like out on the sea like this. But nevertheless, they were there. See, they were heathens. They were lost people, folks. And Jonah was, quote, a prophet of God. And here they are out there, and these heathens, their call was unlike most lost people. Again, this was a specific crew designed by God to be on that boat with Jonah, is what I'm saying. It was God's will for these particular guys to be on there. They were men of age. They were men of the sea. They knew what it was to be in a storm. They've been in storms before, no doubt about it. But as I said before, this storm was unlike to any storm they've ever seen in their life. But God put them there. He put them there with Jonah. He put Jonah with them because God is going to do a work in all their hearts. We're going to see here. Because God, that's the way God works, you see. God brings people together, saved and lost people together, that somehow or another they might be saved. Amen. They might be saved. See, God's put you in a job wherever you work at. He's put you there for a reason. He didn't just give you that job so you can have money to buy what you want. He's given you that job that you might be a witness as a Christian to people around you, no matter who you are. And here we find these heathens, these sailors, they're directing the boat, sailing the boat, and Jonah's with them. These heathens are not reckless about shedding blood. It's not their desire just to destroy Jonah, is what I'm saying. They're concerned. They show regard for human life. They don't want Jonah to die. They don't want him to die. Number two, we see they recognize the believing life is sacred. The believing life is sacred. We see here that God treats his as precious in a particular sense. That is a believer. It's precious. We see here that it was not because of humanity that Jonah was so tenderly dealt with, but it was because of God's grace. Jonah's acknowledgement of his fault and his offer to die that they might live, this moved in those hearts of those heathens. Those sailors. He was willing to die for them. You know, he was willing to die. We see here, disobedience, though it may be sometimes, Jonah, they proceed in God's prophet as still God's prophet, even though he was disobedient. They recognize Jonah as still God's servant. God's servant, even though at this time. We also see that they control their behavior in the storm as far as possible. You know, I can imagine heathen, pagan people in a storm getting upset, can't you? I mean, they can get probably wild, but they control themselves. They control themselves in the midst of the storm, you see. They would have spared the prophet's life if possible. They wanted to spare his life because of what he told them. Obedience to God is the highest morality we find. They found also deliverance from God's leading, They prayed and God led them. In verse 15, look at it. So they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. They obeyed God, you see. The prayers to the idols from the heathen, the lightning, the thunder, and the roaring, all were exercises, and their efforts literally was fighting against the very providence of God. Because God had a plan. God was going to find Jonah in the sea. He had a plan for him to be cast into the sea. And we find this true. You know, how easy the end is if we only let God lead us. Sometimes we fight against the will of God for our lives. We fight against that. But God has got a plan. Also, how fast the transition took place. Whenever they let God have his way in leading them. They were finally won to God's service by the character of Jonah. These sailors were won to God by that. The storm was in his hand for a reason. The storm was in God's hands for a particular reason here at this time. His hand was mighty. His heart was righteous. Always is. Always is. Only the revelation of God, as we see it, only his revelation of God's character wins men to his service. It's not about me. It's not about you. It's only the character of God that touches people's hearts and people get saved. It's nothing that we do. We see the truth here in the lives of these people. He is one to whom to know is to trust. That is God. We know God, so we can trust God. We can trust him in all things. We also see he is one whom to see is to love. It's the knowledge of God, folks, that brings salvation. And we see this displayed to these sailors through the life of Jonah. The life of Jonah. We see this. Their life gave evidence of the genuineness of their experience. The scripture. They give evidence. They prayed, they feared, they sacrificed, and they made vows. These heathens, these sailors did this. We see why. These people, these sailors, they had no Bible. They had no Bible to read. These sailors, they learned nothing literally from the prophet of Jonah as far as what he said. As far as what he said. We also see that they took a distinctly scriptural lesson, though. And doing that, they rendered God's service to God in God's appointed way. God had a way of getting their attention. God had a way to direct the truth to them about who he was and reveal himself. The question is this, will we give ourselves now and here to Christ? Will we do that? That's the question. So we see here that these sailors, they were very unique people. And the fact of how God put them in the right place at the right time. Notice their reverence. Look at verse number 10. Then were the men exceedingly afraid and said unto him, that is Jonah, why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord because he had told them. There's nothing rough, there's nothing rude in the scriptures about these sailors that we find. Nothing at all. They're ordinary people. The storm had frightened them. They were all upset because of what had happened. They were upset. And then we see here what they heard from Jonah affects them. What they heard in verse 8 and 9, look at it. They asked who he was, what he's doing there. Then said they unto him, tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us? What is thine occupation, and whence comest thou? What is thy country, and of what people art thou? And he said unto him, I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord. Notice he said, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land. That feared those sailors when he said that. That fear, put fear in their heart, you see. They ceased from their idolatry, and they began to worship Jehovah, God, when this took place. We see hearing of God, the God of heaven and earth and the sea. It did something to those people that they never heard before. We find here that Jonah, through him, they would learn the will of God concerning God through Jonah. It's amazing how God uses the prophet that's out of God's will to speak to the hearts of those that are lost. And they see God's will for their lives. You know, God knows what he's doing, folks, don't he? He knows what he's doing all the time, putting us where we are, where we ought to be, you see. They reverence his God, and it's Jonah's God. They reverence his God because he's shown kindness to them. To them. You see, this should be a pattern for us to show kindness to people all over the world. All over the world. Have we, an offending brother, have we offended someone? Let us wrong not ourselves nor wrong him. Let us make amends. Be good to one another, you see. Not only their reverence, but we also see their generosity. Their generosity of the sailors. Here we find. Look at verse number 13 again. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to land, but they could not. For the sea wrought and was tempestuous against them. These sailors did everything in their power to save the prophet, to save Jonah, to keep from throwing him overboard. When Jonah was at his best, they were at their best. His unselfishness caused theirs to come out too. You know, it's amazing how that same truth is true to us. When we're at our best around people, they're at their best. In other words, what I'm saying is the way we treat people most of the time is the way we get treated in our life most of the time. You know, that's very true. You will help others to show kindness, to be pure and to be genuine in our lives. We help other people. You know, I've been to the hospital a lot to visit people. I've been to the hospital myself. And I have seen some kind of unkind people working there. But on the other hand, I've seen a lot of good people working in the hospital too. But what I'm saying is this, most of the time, people treat you the way you treat them. People treat you the way you treat them. If you're nice and considerate to them, they're going to be nice and considerate to you. But if you're always complaining, always wanting this and always wanting that, sometimes you can expect trouble. You can expect trouble, you see. But here we find Jonah here with these guys, these sailors, that God put on this ship with him, or he put him on the ship with them, as we should say. And we find how God has miraculously brought these people together now to bring honor and glory to him. We see here their generosity. They helped others. You know, it's inspiring to do good. It's inspiring to be good. It's encouraging to copy our Lord that we might help others. The more like Jesus we are, the more help we're going to be to people in our life. We also notice their prayerfulness in verse number 14. It said, wherefore they cried unto the Lord and said, we beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not upon us innocent blood, for thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased thee. I like that. The Lord has done as it pleased him. A heathen, as heathens, they give themselves to prayer. We also see they cannot save Jonah. It's impossible. They can't save Jonah. That's not their job. That's not their job. They would be only submissive to God. If they would just be submissive to God, that's all they had to do. That's what God wanted them to do. They would be clear on this man's blood if they did that, by just submitting themselves to God and doing what God directed them to do. They would take no step without prayer, so they prayed. You know, that's the whole key in our life as Christians, isn't it? To pray. Before we do anything, to pray. Someone said, let prayer be the key of the morning and the bolt of the night. Prayer is very important. Prayer is very important. When do we need God? When do we not need God? Maybe I should say. We need Him all the time, don't we? We need God all the time. We need Him all the time. We also see in verse 16, these sailors, their godly fear. Can you imagine riding in a storm? I mean, water's bouncing, flying everywhere, the wind, the ship is rocking, and all of a sudden it stopped. I mean, just like, stop, just like that. Most of us would question what happened, wouldn't we? What happened? Well, we see here in verse number 16, when this happened, the Bible says in verse 15, so they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. Notice verse 16, then the men what? They feared the Lord. Notice exceedingly. They had been fearing the Lord for a while, no doubt. But now, since the storm has died and stopped, the Bible says they feared the Lord exceedingly. See? And offered a sacrifice unto the Lord and made vows. Their godly fear. Their godly fear now. At the sight of the sudden calm, they feared. Their faith evidence itself. They trusted God. They looked to God. See? They expressed in act a thankfulness for the past and also the present. God had delivered them from the storm they were in, and now the sea was calm. The sea was calm. So we see here what's happened here in the book of Jonah with these sailors. The sailor. We're talking about the failure of success. Jonah got a word from God to go to a certain place and do a particular job. Well, Jonah failed and didn't do what God wanted him to do, right? But we see the hand of God, the provision of God, the working of God in the lives of these men on the boat with Jonah. And how it wasn't a failure as far as God's concerned. Because now look what God's done. Here's a group of sailors that know Jonah's God. Okay? And yet we find here now, through the failure of their own God, back in verse number 5, they prayed to their own God, didn't they? What happened? Nothing happened. The sea was more raging, even though they prayed. And we see that the faithful witness of Jonah, in verse 9 and 10, we find that. He told him who he was, what he was there for. And then they were afraid because of the faithful witness of Jonah here. We see these sailors came to believe in the God of Israel, verse 14 and verse 16, because of the faithful witness of Jonah. We see, first of all, that Jonah was calm even in the storm. What was Jonah doing in the storm? He was in the bottom of the boat, what? Sleeping. He was asleep. He was calm. He was calm there. And that was a witness to these sailors of the prophet of God, the man of God. How he could be calm even in the midst of a storm, you know. But this was a witness to them, you see. And also, the witness to these sailors was how Jonah was willing. He was willing himself and accepted the responsibility of the situation they were in. It's my fault that the storm's here. It's all about me. My God has stirred up the sea. My God has caused a storm for us. Because of me, because of me. And we find this was a strong testimony for those sailors, of who God was, see. It's all about God. See, I said before, this book of Jonah is not a story about a man and a fish, but it's about a man and his God. And we see his God working even in the hearts of these heathen sailors that were on the boat with Jonah. My, what God can do. God knows what he's doing, folks. God knew, not God, but Jonah himself, he knew, at worst, if he was thrown off the boat, at least these sailors would be rescued if he was off the boat. Their lives would be saved. They would not drown if they could get him off the boat. Okay? Well, he also knew also that even at the best, that God himself would somehow miraculously deliver him. He believed that. Jonah believed that with all his heart. So, you know, it's a win-all situation. The sailors can win, and Jonah can win eventually because of them obeying God. See, that's what life's all about anyway, isn't it? Obeying God. We sing the song sometimes, trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but what? Trust and obey. Trust and obey, see? The sailors, they worked hard against what God wanted them to do, what God wanted. But yet, on the other hand, we find they obeyed God eventually. And Jonah did also. And so this is a miraculous story here of the compassion of God working in the lives of people. People that are disobedient to him, people that are working against his will, trying to get the boat to the land. You know, and it wasn't God's will, really. It was God's will for Jonah to get out of that boat first. Then Jonah would get to shore the way God wanted him to get to shore. And these sailors would get to shore on the boat like he wanted them to do that, you see. So it's all about bringing together God's will for their lives. God's will for their lives. These sailors were pagans, they were heathens, they were lost. But they were special people that God put on that boat. They were not the ordinary heathens and ordinary pagans that we know in the world today. Because if they had been, they would never obey God. They would never have done what God wanted them to do. And they would probably literally destroy Jonah and been done with it, you see. But it wasn't God's will. You know, you've heard too, no one can destroy God's man until God's through with him. And I believe that. If it's a pastor of a church, if it's a missionary, I don't care who it is. If it's God's man, God's hands upon that individual, no one can destroy him until God's through with him. I look at men of God that we've known in our lives that have big churches and all that, how they had security guards with them and all that, you know, and that's all well. But you know, those men lived the full life when God ever took them. You look at Dr. Lee Robertson. Look at him. He lived, he's 90-something when he died, you see. All these giants of God. Well, here is a little man named Jonah. God provided protection for him. Right on. You know, he gave him a second chance, so to speak. You know, I'm so glad for the second chances God gives me in my life. In the third, fourth, fifth, right on down the road, you know. He gives us more chances every day to live for him, you see. So the thing is this, no matter where we are in our lives, we can be out on the sea in the boat. We can be at work. We can be at church. We can be at home. Where we are, the key to our life is to obey God. To obey God. When we obey God, we'll find that the sea will be calm. Our life will be calm on it. And we can bring honor and glory to him by simply obeying him. Jonah, we see next week, we're going to see as they cast him into the sea, what takes place with Jonah and that fish. It's a smelly story. But it's a good story. We'll talk about that next week. Father, we thank you, Lord, for loving us. We thank you for Jonah. Thank you, Lord, for the account that you've given to us to learn from him. And God, how we can apply these truths to our lives daily. Lord, we know, Lord, that sometimes we all come short, we fail. We don't do what you want us to do sometimes. But Lord God, I pray you'd help us to understand as we look at this example from your word today that the most important thing in our life is to obey you. Lord, we know what you want us to do, and we must do it. So God, help us to do it. Give us the strength and courage. Bless your people, dear God, as we continue to look at the life of Jonah. And Lord, how we see ourselves in him many times, dear God. But God, give us the strength and wisdom we need to be what we ought to be. Lord, we're going to the next service. We ask you, Lord, to help us. We ask you, dear God, to bless the singing, the congregational singing, the specials. Lord, we pray especially for our pastor. You bless him. Anoint him, Lord, today. Give him power. Give him strength and wisdom to speak, thus saith the Lord. If there's one in a midst that's lost, I pray they might be saved today. That's our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.